the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the July issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled When Estrus Sink Goes Sideways, Practical Troubleshooting for Beef Producers. To have a conversation about the article, I'm joined today by the co-authors, Dr. Casey McCarthy, who's a Nebraska Extension Cow-Calf Specialist, together with Dr. Becky Funk, who's a veterinarian and animal health teaching professor and also a Nebraska Extension Specialist based at the Great Plains Veterinary Education Center. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Well, estrus synchronization, I think, is a tremendous tool for the beef industry. We see it primarily probably used in a lot of operations for yearling heifers, but also I'd say increasingly with some of these timed AI programs, see it used in mature cows as well. In this article, you highlight some of the things that we need to understand about the estrus synchronization protocols, the different hormones that are being utilized, and then what are some things that can cause things to go awry? So I guess to get us kicked off, just kind of lay out the different things we need to understand about estrus synchronization if we're setting that up and putting cows through a program.
Yeah, so I think the one thing we need to think about is understanding how we handle our hormones, what we need to do with them, understanding the cycle, right? Because we can use these to our advantage when we're thinking about maybe some of our late cows, late calvers that are still in estrus, and are there opportunities to jumpstart those females? Are we working right with those yearling heifers? And maybe we can select particular products that are going to help us suppress estrus and get those females cycling or jump-started. So when we think about these different protocols, right, we've got a general 21-day cycle. And then how do we then start to manipulate that cycle to be able to utilize artificial insemination? Maybe that's a natural breeding service and using our bull power to get these females bred. Or, you know, maybe we're trying to do some heat detection or used sex semen. There's a lot of different protocols that are available that can help us manipulate those cycles and provide opportunities, right, to tighten that breeding window, bring a larger proportion of females into estrus at a designated time point.
In the article, you highlight a number of different products that are available to help us do that. I guess talk through some of the basics that we need to understand in using those.
Yeah, so when you think about a typical protocol, we're thinking about the timing of these in relation to the sequence of synchronizing females. So we might have a prostaglandin that's going to regress a corpus luteum, which allows cows to return to estrus. This is usually administered between day 6 and 16 of a cycle. So it does not induce cyclicity in those non-cycling postpartum females, but it is an opportunity to target these other females that have a CL present. And so then we start to think about the next steps within those protocols with a gonadotropin-releasing hormone that's going to trigger ovulation, synchronize those follicular waves. It can actually potentially induce those anestrous females that are close to cycling. But these cattle need to have, right, a large, healthy follicle present to be able to help induce that ovulation approximately 24 to 30 hours after that GnRH injection. And so we can start to use that and then think about some of our timed AI protocols, ways we can manipulate that. Then you've got some other products like progesterone-based products, right, that are going to mimic the luteal phase, which is going to suppress estrus until a withdrawal. And so that can induce estrus in those anestrus females again, and so kind of jumpstart them. So that's going to be right like your CEDAR, which is that controlled internal drug release, that T-shaped device that's going to release that constant dose of progesterone. And then it's usually used right in those 5, 6, 7, or 14-day protocols. Then you have your MGA product, right? Your melangestrol acetate product that's orally ingested in heifers, right? It's going to suppress estrus, usually fed at 0.5 milligrams a day, right, for about 14 days. And then you're going to inject them with a prostaglandin shot 19 days later. And all of these protocols can be found. There's a group that work on these protocols at beefrepro.org and work through all of the timing of these products.
Yeah, I just encourage for folks who have not looked at that website and looked at the calendar there, this Estrus Synchronization Planner, it's a tremendous tool. There's all the commonly recognized Estrus Synchronization protocols can be found there. You can use the calendar to put in the date or dates that you want to breed, and it will actually back calculate for you then when these different products need to be administered based on the chosen protocol you select. It's a tremendous tool, and I think really brings a lot of clarity as you begin to think about your estrus synchronization protocol.
Yeah, your success with those protocols are really going to be timing. Becky and I were just talking about that earlier today when you start to think about timing and how important it is and being able to get a plan and then think about, okay, when do I need to have all these products? How do I prepare so I'm not thinking about this last minute, right? Because you want to make sure that you've got a few months to be able to identify the products, get them ordered, have them on hand, make sure you've got your semen if you're using AI, or you've got your bulls purchased and you have that calendar is a really great resource to be able to think about when you need to administer hormones, when you need to pull cedars or, think about that timing. It's really important. And also in respect to that, making sure you're handling those products appropriately, right? And following BQA guidelines, making sure they're stored at the right temperatures. Those are all really important as well to make sure that the efficacy of those products are good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you've said. I think as you think about an estrus synchronization protocol, in this case, I'm going to say tied together with an AI program, we've got quite a bit invested in those cows individually with the drugs, the labor, the equipment, the semen itself. And so attention to detail is pretty important here. Talk a little about, as you mentioned in the article, sometimes things go awry or they don't go according to plan, or maybe someone got off on their schedule. Talk a little bit about what happens when that occurs, and maybe what are some things we need to understand if we don't get things done in a timely way.
Yeah, so like you said, timing is going to be really important for these protocols. I mean, just making sure that, we're getting things administered in the right order. Things happen, we get the call. I'm sure Becky's had a number of calls where, hey, I gave this one, what do I do? So when you think about timing, maybe you gave GnRH at Cedar out. Right. And so that dominant follicle may not be ready to ovulate. So you're not going to induce that ovulation, or maybe that occurred and then we're missing that fertile window. And so now we got to kind of rethink, okay, what's that timing? What can I do? Maybe there's an opportunity to wait, right? And then breed after ovulation. Maybe we pulled that cedar. Or maybe a cow pulled it out, or heifers in a dry lot got bored and started pulling out cedars, and you still have a few days before that protocol. There's right, there's maybe a couple protocols. Maybe we need to look at that 5-day protocol instead of that 7 or 14-day protocol. There's ways to mitigate some of that. So especially with cows and heifers, especially in more so in dry lot scenarios, if we cut that string on that cedar about 2 inches, we can help reduce some of that occurrence of them pulling those out. We can, also make sure you're, visually assessing those animals. But sometimes you can suppress estrus if we leave those in too long, or delay ovulation. And so timing's going to be really key with these hormones.
When you work with producers and maybe they didn't get the response that they expected, and I'm just thinking about the time of year we're having this conversation in. For most spring calving herds, they've had their estrus synchronization protocols take place already. So now maybe we're looking at here, we're mid-July, moving towards early August. Maybe they're going through the next step where they're going to do some pregnancy diagnosis and see what happened. What are some things to think through as you visit with folks and maybe things don't go right as they had planned? How do you help them go back and think through what took place, maybe where were some problems, and how do we make changes as we think about next time?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most, common conversations I would say I would have with producers coming up in the next month or so as we do start to ultrasound a lot of these heifers. And it kind of falls into different buckets for me and how we need to think about that. Because there's different places things can go wrong, right? We can have the protocol itself was a problem. You know, maybe we didn't get our timing quite right, or maybe conditions were bad. You know, you think about years that we have extreme heat stress or our mud and rough weather during breeding. So is that something to think about? Even backing up a step further, you know, were we using these protocols in the right animals? Casey touched on that we can use these protocols to try and jump start some animals, or to bring some of those later calving cows, you know, back into the bigger herd with a seeder protocol. But sometimes we're dealing with just heifers that were not prepared from a body weight or body condition standpoint. So really looking at the whole picture and trying to troubleshoot those. And see what we've got going on. And a lot of that will come down to when we can pinpoint if or when they conceived. You know, if they weren't on an AI cycle, did they come in when they went into better nutritional standpoint, things like that. But certainly, usually if we have a synchronization protocol issue, most folks will know about it. We know that we had seeders that were being pulled. Honestly, you're right, Casey, that is the most common call I took, is that we went to pull seeders and a certain percentage of them were already pulled, and what do we do? The nice thing to remember, I like to point out there, is we did do synchronization before seeders, right? So a lot of those protocols are based on historic protocols that we did pre-seeder. So that's probably the most forgiving mishap versus something like we gave an estromate at the wrong spot. So that's kind of how I think through those when we start to get those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd probably add too, right? Nutrition is going to be key, body condition, but also how we're handling our semen, reviewing those AI techniques, you know, making sure that, you know, uterine health is also good as well. So those are maybe some other points that we may need to think about if we are troubleshooting and looking at response rates and those types of things. That are there any other underlying issues that maybe we need to address?
Dr. McCarthy, you bringing that up, I'm going to direct this question to you, Dr. Funk. But as we think about other factors that could be impacting our conception rates, one of those that you didn't mention in the article, but is things like timing of vaccinations. Touch on that just a little bit and maybe some things to pay attention to, especially as we think about heifers and estrus synchronization protocols.
Yeah, that's a good question. And there's probably a whole nother podcast in that answer. But the short answer is we do need to think about using some of those reproductive vaccines and how they're used around a synchronization program or an AI program. And the short answer is to be very cautious with them. There's a number of vaccines on the market, great vaccines, useful in our program, but they don't belong in our synchronization program because they cause some inflammation, particularly in the ovaries, that lead to lower conception rates for those producers that maybe, you know, get behind the eight ball and think, well, I'm just going to give that vaccination at the same time I'm running them through the chute. Seems like a time-saving step at the time we do it, but really kind of comes back to bite us later generally.
Yeah, so most typically, right, we're think about that 30 to 45 day window because of that very reason is usually kind of how I think about that timing.
So I guess what I hear you saying is we want to try, if we're going to be giving those vaccinations, we'd like to see them at least 30 to 45 days prior to the start of our estrus synchronization protocol. Is that accurate or is that correct?
Correct. And in fact, I would say really when I start to design protocols or help folks design protocols, leave your chute trips at synchronization for our synchronization protocol. I really prefer not to be doing anything else at that time.
What other things would you encourage folks to think through as they maybe do some look back on their estrus synchronization protocol this spring and think about what went well and what could go better?
One thing I'd really encourage producers to do, and I do it in my own herd, and it's really helpful when we're trying to kind of dissect if things go wrong, what went wrong, is keep good records, not just of which animals went through the chute, but we keep track of when we do a blended protocol, right? So we're heat detecting up to a timed AI point. And so keeping track of those heifers that came into observable heats versus the ones that were maybe silent or didn't show heat or showed heat late could really help us go back and have a look at what went on during that protocol. And it's as simple as just putting a check mark or a star or something beside, or a date beside their number on the list.
Yeah, I think that's huge, especially with those heat detection protocols. So making sure you have folks that can observe, right, estrus signs, making note of that. And then maybe even using tools like tail paint, EstroTech patches to help with that from a visual standpoint does help improve, right, the number of animals that we do catch when we're trying to do more heat detection and AI protocols. Now, there's ways maybe to even switch to a fixed time AI where you kind of take that guesswork out. But having those records, I think, are huge just to help with, that consistency and tracking and following those protocols.
Anything else you'd like to highlight on this topic today?
No, I think there's a lot of really great resources out there, right? We mentioned the EstrusSync planner that helps you customize and print those protocols, shows you comparisons, does some cost comparisons as well, right? There's several protocols available for folks depending on the uses and their goals, right? And so that can all be found at the beefrepro.org website. So those would be two resources that I encourage folks to look through as well and really plan weeks to months in advance that target window and use your resources. Your local extension agent, specialist, veterinarian, there's resources and folks out there that can help work through those protocols.
I'd emphasize what Casey just said is that communication piece, whether that be with whoever's helping you set up that protocol, whether it's your veterinarian, even your AI technician, right? We have lots of different AI technicians that are helping folks pick and run through those protocols. Communicate with them early. Let them help you set things up. We touched on the MGA protocol. If you want to run an MGA protocol, you're looking at more than a month's worth of planning ahead of time to get that started and done well. And it doesn't work when you call me a couple weeks out from your preferred date and need to pick a protocol at that point.
Yeah, and also when you're ordering products, give yourself time. You don't want to have last minute surprises.
Yeah, I would agree with what both you've said. I think this is one of those things that all of a sudden we get to a calendar date, we realize, oh, we wanted to get these heifers synchronized or these cows synchronized. And this is something that not easy to do, but sitting down even now as we do our pregnancy testing here that's coming up in July and August, maybe we're doing some ultrasound on some heifers, things like that, and doing some planning even now, thinking about next year if we're going to set up an EstrusSync protocol, when do we want to do it? What do we want to do? And even now beginning to put some dates on the calendar. I need to select my protocol by this date. I need to order my drugs by this date, and just putting those things in place. Because as you both well said, there's so many different things happening here, and one mishap in the middle of that process can really have a significant detrimental impact to the results. And so it can go really well if we do things well, but it's kind of a chain effect. If one link in the chain gets broken, it can derail the whole event.
Yeah, definitely. Estrus synchronization could be a powerful tool, but we need to use things correctly, have a plan, have those records in place to be able to help understand, troubleshooting issues, respect the timing to really turn any mishaps or frustrating experiences right into reproductive wins. We want to make sure that, we're setting everybody up for success utilizing these tools.
Well, for more information on the topic that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find the article at beef.unl.edu. The title of the article, When EstrusSync Goes Sideways, Practical Troubleshooting for Beef Producers. I'd also mention again the EstrusSynchronization Planning Calendar that can be found at beefrepro.org.